Mark my words, if I ever go to Rammstein someday, I will stride out of the airport with a boombox blaring Burn by Ellie Goulding, and I will throw up my arms and I will yell, "Here I am!" Hello, everyone, and welcome to Parks and Rewatch. I'm your host, Joe.
And I'm Joy.
And today we are diving into Season 6, Episode 10, Second Chunce.
Wow. Chunce. Really? Chunce? How did you feel about this episode?
There's going to be a chunce. I don't like that word.
There's a high chunce. I hate that word. Cool. Okay. Would you please tell us our plot synopsis?
Yes. So this is an episode full of endings and new beginnings. The ending of... I don't know why I said ending like that. Oh, no. The ending of Rent-A-Swag. The beginning of Business Liaison Prowess.
Mm-hmm.
The ending of City Council for Leslie. The beginning of something hopefully bigger. The ending of another sex scandal. The beginning of nothing new for Dexhart.
I was really proud of that one.
Well done.
Thank you.
The ending of no one knowing where the raccoons are. The beginning of a new glory called the Raccoon Shantytown.
Yep.
The ending of Chris not eating carbs.
Well.
And the beginning of being boy parents for Chris and Anne.
Whoa! Really, this episode did not inspire any poetry, if that gives you a foresight into how I kind of feel about it. So... it's fine. Everything's fine. Episode behind the scenes of trivia. All right. IMDb said that Michael Schur, co-creator of Parks and Rec, can be seen dining in the background of the scene where Leslie and Ben are having lunch in Paris.
Oh, that's a good detail.
I haven't been looking that closely at backgrounds in a long time. 2. This episode was written by Amy Poehler and Michael Schur. There's a part of me that reads that and is like, well, shouldn't it have been better then? In real life, Leslie would have needed to live in Dexhart's district longer than she said to be eligible to run in that district. Although, one can't be too sure because Indiana municipalities set their own rules for local office residency requirements. It is entirely possible that the Pawnee Town Charter allows for shorter residency. I just powered through that yawn.
You strong-armed it like a champion.
I gotta like untrain myself from sitting down and yawning. All right. Time for some dives. Up top, we're going to talk about good for you. You lost your job, dream gifts, and some fun jet lag stories and tips. In the biffs, we're going to talk about Frank Gehry and the 5 stages of grief. All right. Joe, has anybody ever given you a gift when you lost your job? Or quit your job?
No.
Okay.
Granted, I think the last time I lost or quit a job was, I mean, I had temporary jobs in college, but those were kind of always understood to be temporary, so I don't really count those. So that would have been high school.
Okay, cool. I did get laid off / downsized from a job that I was at for quite a while. And one of my friends there is also an Enneagram 6, and she got me the cutest gift. I don't know if you've heard of the Scaredy Squirrel books, but it's basically a children's version of what it's like to be an Enneagram 6.
No.
So Scaredy Squirrel is up in his nut tree, and he's up there all day, and he's just looking for all of these things that he's terrified of. And if he sees them, then he has his emergency kit that's full of all of the things he might need just in case. And so then it's a naturally There's the exposition. There's the inciting incident. And then the hero dives down, has to figure out that they're okay as they are, rise again, you know, all the things. So it's a very cute book. Please check out the entirety of the Scaredy Squirrel series.
Very cool.
I even emailed the author and got a cheap response that made me really sad. Aww. I just wanted to be like, hi, do you know about the Enneagram? Can we talk about that real quick? Because this is an Enneagram 6. I don't know if you know that, but yeah, whatever. Whatever. Anyway, Ben's best idea is a candle. A candle. Please, Joe, tell me that you've seen the Christmas candle SNL video.
I have.
It's a candle, the same peach candle. It's the gift you love to give away. If you guys haven't seen that, please Google SNL Christmas candle. You're welcome. Okay, chocolates. That feels lame to me. Like, you're hurting. Here's some sweet things. That just doesn't feel sustainable. And also, I personally wouldn't really eat them. So, whatever. Some people on the internet suggested sending money, which I'm like, okay, that's cool. Also kind of awkward, but also kind of cool. All right. I found a website called The Gift Unicorn that had some gems and links to Amazon stuff, and only some of them had good reviews, which I was a little sad about. So there's an inspirational cuff that has a hidden message inside of it. And the hidden message was, a wise woman once said this and she lived happily ever after. But it's engraved on the inside of the bracelet, so you can't see it from the outside.
Mm.
Yeah. There's an everything is fine tank top. It's fine. I'm fine. Everything is fine. You know that phrase I say all the time. My favorite review from this was Leah Weiss, 1 out of 5 stars. Title, Someone Needs Spell Check. And on the shirt, the Y in everything is left out. So it's fine. I'm fine. Everything is fine.
I'm going to need to buy 10 of those.
Everything is fine. Oh, good news. I linked it in the show notes. Okay. There's another one that just said, well, beep, greeting card. And that's all it says on the front. And then the most bizarre one I found was a 12-piece wood carving set. Like, here, take up a new hobby. Carve some wood. Would you please read this review?
The title is Trash. It was rated 1 out of 5 stars.
Wah, wah.
Comes with useless instructions in broken English. E.g., step 4 is grinding a spoon to make a complete and smooth. probably the missing part of step 4 is wet the salt with brine.
It obviously is.
Grinding a spoon to make complete.
You're
there
so
you go.
Smart.
You're welcome.
You're so smart.
If you're wondering what grinding is and what comes in this kit that you can grind a spoon with, you're not alone. Not for beginners. The tools came blunt. The hook can barely cut paper. Never mind wood. I am desperately scraping away with the hook knife with various levels of pressure and getting nowhere. I can barely carve into the wood, even with a lot of pressure. Feels like trying to carve frozen meat with a weirdly shaped butter knife. Very frustrating.
Huh. I wonder what kind of wood they're using. That's my first thought. But anyway, and the last thing I found was a succulent that the pot said life would suck, S-U-C-C, without you. Here's a succulent. Yay. So how would you feel, Joe, if you quit or lost your job and somebody gave you a 12-piece wood carving set, if we just hypothetically played this out?
Hypothetically, if I were to get a Amazon woodworking set as a commemorative gift, you know, to commemorate my time at said job.
It only costs $28 with free Prime overnight.
I would throw it in the garbage.
Oh, wow. Okay, so no whittling for you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've whittled before with a pocket knife.
Which apparently is sharper than some of these tools.
Yes. I don't want to try to carve frozen meat with a weirdly shaped butter knife or grind a spoon. So,
or pry meat apart with a fork?
Hey, now. That tool is still, I'm pretty sure that fork is still around somewhere, just laying in the silverware drawer, all kind of janky.
That's so funny.
I'm trying to remember what it was we were trying to pry apart.
It was like beef patties or something.
Was it just burger patties?
I think so.
Yeah, that might be, because I was expecting them to just pop apart, and I use this poor, innocent little fork, and the fork...
I remember watching you do it and being like, this is not going to go well.
The fork got mangled. It got mangled.
Up next, we're going to talk about being jet lagged. Do you have experience with jet lag?
Not really. I have flown pretty far internationally before, but it was a long time ago, and I don't really remember any jet lag experiences.
Interesting. Okay. I decided to do a whole segment on just stories of being jet lagged because I knew the internet had to have some really good ones. So I found some stories on Quora. The first one is by a gentleman named Theodore Stryker, who is a captain, answered March 17th, 2020. Would you like to take this one? Or would Absolutely. You like me to do it? There's two reviews in here. Okay.
Absolutely, I would. Okay. Theodore Stryker. Let's see. Okay. We have wonderful crew rest beds and rest bunks in the belly of my aircraft. I can't complain, but for some reason, I've never found a way to fall asleep back there, down there. I listen to podcasts, including my favorite podcast, which is Parks and Rewatch.
What? That's amazing. Stop. Yeah, I know. Theodore.
Sleep just doesn't happen. After going back and forth across the Pacific for 12 days, I landed, waited 4 hours for my commuter flight, and finally made it home that evening. My family knows I will be stupid.
Mm-hmm.
My wife poured me a glass of wine. I sat down at the kitchen counter. I heard the doorbell, so I jumped up and said, I've got it, and ran to the front door. There's nobody there. I walked back into the kitchen, and my daughter was extremely concerned and looking at Mom. Dad's hearing bells now? Apparently I was. Also, in my single days, I was rather shy, I guess. Extremely intimidated by beautiful women.
Yeah.
I flew from New Delhi to Frankfurt. Saw some old friends and didn't get much sleep. Then I flew to Atlanta, which ended my trip and was trying to figure out where to go next. I heard wind of a party in Salt Lake City, so I pulled off my uniform and jumped on that flight. When I got to Salt Lake, I saw the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen. She looked at me and smiled. I got off the airplane and walked away and suddenly realized I hadn't had any sleep in 36 hours, and if I didn't get this resolved, I'd lay there and think about her all night, but I needed sleep. I turned around quickly to confront her. My thinking was to just have her shoot me down so I could go get some sleep. In a complete stupor, I walked up and said, hey, can I talk to you? You are the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my entire life, and if I could have your phone number, I'd love to give you a call. To my complete shock, she wrote down her number and handed it to me. Next year, we will have been married 30 years.
And there you have it.
That's a sweet story.
I know. It's so cute. All right. The next one's from Ernest Tucker, former pilot of fixed and rotor. Wow. Former pilot, fixed and rotorcraft aeronautical engineer. Sure. We can put all those words together. They definitely make sense. All right. Ernest Tucker. I don't know. Southern just feels right. I don't know if you would call it jet lag, but I had been working on a military contract that took me 19 different air bases around the world. I was sometimes hitting 2 to 3 a day, and many multiple times. And many multiple times. Okay. One morning, I awoke with the sun rising in the southwest. Doesn't the sun always rise in the east? And trying to figure out where the hell I was. I felt totally misplaced. I wandered around for a bit and finally saw a sign on one of the hangars saying, "Welcome to Rammstein." I looked at my day planner, except there's an N missing, so it's your day planner. Just run that on through and smooth out those edges. And realized I was supposed to be in Minot. How do you say it?
I think it's Minot.
In Minot, North Dakota. Rammstein wasn't even on the list. To this day, I'm at a loss to knowing how I got there. The day before, I'd been in Dahran, Saudi Arabia. I really messed that up. The day before, I'd been in Dahran, Saudi Arabia. I remember getting on a C-130 to Cairo. I went to sleep, and, well, that's the story. I got to my note the next day due to weather. I couldn't work anyway. Luckily, me.
So I have a theory about this one.
Okay, tell me.
This person's actually crazy, and they don't have jet lag. They just are crazy town banana pants because they might actually be working a military contract, but they would actually go to these different air bases and hit them. When he says, "I was sometimes hitting 2 to 3 a day and many multiple times," he doesn't mean.
So how do you hit a base?
He just runs around slapping the buildings on the base. He sometimes is hitting 2 to 3 a day and many multiple times. And when he looked at his day planner, that's not a typo. He actually has a planner that he thinks is a day planner, and that's why he doesn't know where he is.
I think that's brilliant, Joe.
That seems to make the story make a lot more sense. I'm just saying.
I agree.
Like, yeah, here comes that guy that slaps military bases.
All right, Ernest. All right. We see you. That kind of like when I said, like, how do you hit the bases? It made me think of like baseball. So does he try to like just slide from one to the next? Like, where's home base? How does he score runs?
Who knows where this guy's home is? I think he Jack Sparrow runs from building to building on the base and just slaps them silly.
He's got to have quite the hand then, because slapping a building is no joke.
He's got some major calluses.
Wow. Good for you, Ernest. Good for you. All right. Going a little bit practical because you guys know who I am. Tips for beating jet lag. Here's a yawn. Speaking of jet lag, I'm not jet lagged, but I feel like it. This is just joy. Writing is joy before I did any research. I've been told it takes a day about a day of adjustment per hour of time change you've experienced. And oddly enough, for me, it's a lot easier flying east than it is for flying back west. Yeah. But don't worry, everybody. Condé Nast Traveler has some tips. It's been a while since we've talked about Condé Nast. All right. They said, this is just not very practical for me, in my humble opinion. Adapt to your new time zone before you depart. For every time zone, it takes an average on one day to adapt, which, okay, cool, I'm right, says Dr. Stephen Brass, a California-based neurologist who specializes in sleep medicine. Consider adapting your schedule to the destination several days before departure. What? But if you know you'll be 3 hours ahead, start 3 days before. That means slightly shifting the time you go to bed, the time you wake up, and meal time.
Oh, no.
What am I doing with my life? I'm that getting sleep. I'm okay.
I think the yawns are getting more powerful.
Oh, no. Am I being drugged?
Oh, no. Have they found you?
My nondescript blue room in Seattle.
We might have been overconfident. I think, you know what? Seattle was fun. I think it's time to put a different destination in your day planner.
and go hit some bases.
Yeah, you're probably gonna need to hit 2 to 3 multiple times.
And hopefully I'll end up at Rammstein.
But that's the only way we're going to shake the raccoon gang. I think they're probably pumping something into the vents.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That explains why the dog is so sleepy.
It's probably nothing overtly malicious. It's probably, they're probably just pumping essence of chamomile into the vents.
Ah.
Every time you sit down to record and they're just upping the chamomile a little bit every time.
Can you OD on chamomile?
I don't know. Oh. I don't know if they know. It's irresponsible.
How dare they? They should talk to Condé Nast Traveler.
They probably should.
Okay, the next tip. Stay hydrated. Move around in flight. Use different strategies when you travel east versus west. Because they said, as a rule of thumb, it's much easier to travel west than it is to travel east. Largely because it's easier to go to bed when you're tired than it is to force yourself to go to bed early.
Hmm.
I love going to bed early. They said hit the gym when you land, eat light, avoid or reduce alcohol intake, and take melatonin. So there we go. Everybody, we can beat jet lag together. Yeah.
Together.
All right, time for our likes and dislikes, where we talk about what we liked and what we didn't like. Joe, what do you got?
I like jet lag dandy.
So on point.
I like that that's his spaghetti Chewbacca.
Right?
I missed Andy. I definitely missed Andy.
Very glad he's back.
Yes. I like Leslie being unable to say it's her last day. I like when Leslie and Ingrid sing, the subtitles say off key and operatically, respectively.
Ah, ha, ha.
I like that Ron believing luck is a concept invented by the weak to explain their failures.
Seems absolutely reasonable.
Also, little bit of a side note. Did it sound like Nick Offerman had a cold in this episode?
I can't say I was paying attention.
It sounded like if you watch this episode again at some point, it sounds like he's just a little bit nasally. More so than usual. I've always kind of thought that. But,
well, I mean, you can't win them all.
No, you cannot. I like the fact that we are now asking if Larry is Lenny now.
Poor guy.
I like Andy falling asleep just all over the episode.
As he should.
That was one of my favorite parts of the episode. I like that there is another Dex Hart scandal video confession, and they're just a total circus at this point.
Yes, they absolutely are.
And at this point, again, we just see the writing of Parks and Rec satirizing the political world so brilliantly. It's kind of scary, honestly.
It is.
I like the pseudonym Enrique Shockwave.
Wow. Just so many things.
I like that time is money. Money is power. Power is pizza. Pizza is knowledge.
Right? Has she said that before?
I don't think so.
That feels so familiar to me.
Yeah. It's one for the ages. It's just a legendary piece of April wisdom. And I'm not going to lie. I'd kind of like to see a Thumbicus.
I did look it up and no such thing.
That's sad. And I'm definitely not saying like an app, like an Abacus app. I think a actual miniature Abacus on the back of a phone case might be kind of cool. Not very.
Did you call it an Abacus?
I did. It's Abacus, isn't it?
I don't know. I want it to be both.
This sounds like the Appalachian pronunciation of it. Abacus.
Abacus.
Now I'm not sure I'm saying Appalachian.
Appalachian.
Right, either.
Appalachian.
Appalachian. I think the correct pronunciation is Appalachia or Appalachian. But then there's the podcast. Why am I forgetting the podcast name? I'm having a meltdown now. This is an official melt. My ear just started ringing. This is happening in real time.
Are you getting sleepy as well? Is there chamomile happening?
I've been sleepy for sure. I think, if anything, the raccoon gang might have tried to poison the lobster bisque of the yesterday.
Of the yesterday. Wait, Joe, what was the yesterday?
It was my birthday.
Oh my gosh. Because right now we're recording on Wednesday, April 6th at 8:39 and 20 seconds. Daylight Central. Central Daylight. Central Daylight.
Oh, no.
Standard time. Mm-hmm. Yes. That covers all the bases.
The times. Yeah, the bases are covered. Anyway, words are hard, like Appalachia and other stuff. Abacus.
Let's go slap some bases.
Yeah, and military. Yeah.
Right.
Oh my gosh, I thought you were out. Oh, I thought you were like musical bases.
No.
And then we can slap those too.
We can, yeah. Yeah.
That worked
quick update.
Too well.
I couldn't find any apps for abacuses, abacai, abacus, because there's a payroll app called Abacus. So I did look up online abacus simulator, and good news, everybody, there are abacus simulators out there. So get your fix.
Metaverse.
Get your fix.
Wow. Also, thank you for using the visual aid of your thumbs when you said an app for a back.
You are so welcome. No. That's fine. Don't worry about
it. This is Swedish massage 2.0.
How does an abacus even work?
I just remember sliding things. That's all.
I mean, I'm just clicking on this simulator and sliding things back and forth, and I don't understand what I'm supposed to be doing.
Oh, man.
Okay.
I should probably move on.
Keep going.
This was a spectacular meltdown. My ears stopped ringing, though, so
hey.
That's good. Anyway, I like that Lenny came up with clean, renewable energy.
Of course he did.
Even though those just looked like some computer fans. With some LED lights, essentially.
And there are batteries in there, too. Yeah. I don't know if you saw that in the circuit, but...
Yeah, but I just love that little bit. It's so funny.
Yep.
I like Anne's stream of consciousness from name baby names to food.
Pregnant Anne is really funny and also terrifying.
Yes. Rosemary chicken. I like bears bouncing on trampoline roads.
Right. I don't feel like trampolines would last very long with bears.
Probably not.
But good
Probably
effort.
Probably not. I like large axe.
Yep. It's just a normal axe, but bigger.
I like we are having a distributions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I really like that the Parks crew brings Leslie back to reality a little bit. That they engage her with some tough love. That they care about her, but they are really not in favor of her just diving right back into the city council universe.
Right.
That's all I'll say about that for now. I like Andy thinking Tom did ventriloquism with the tissue box.
It's amazing. Andy tunes back in for like the perfect moment.
Yes. When he looks at him and he's just like, do that again. Oh my goodness. That was so funny. Okay. This is JR is back in this episode. Spoiler alert.
Ugh.
And I love how he enters this episode with this quote. Daddy, an Elmer Fudd one is on. Stop it. Hey, what's up, beautiful John Ralphio? I live in the guest house. What do you say you and I get together in a special way?
Wow. In front of his father.
Oh, my goodness. I love it so much. I like that Ben's last day present is perfection. Mm-hmm. I mean, perfection.
Yes.
I wrote perfection multiple times. There's all caps and there's multiple words spammed because that's how much.
Perfection, perfection, perfection.
That was pretty much exactly how it happened in my head.
I'm here for you, Joe.
Thank you. It was just literally the perfect way to get Leslie to think bigger. I think that Jen was perhaps the only person she would have actually listened to in that moment. Yeah. And then I agree with Jen. Dream bigger. Then dream bigger. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Don't be that high school kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved it. I loved it. I like Dr. Saperstein attempting to put his kids up for adoption. They're so terrible.
Funny. So funny. I ask everybody.
They're terrible. I like Ben's trip to Paris present.
Mm-hmm.
All the feels.
Yep.
And then I like Ben loving the bridge from Inception.
Yep. So funny. She's like, honey, but the Eiffel Tower's back there. And he's like, but the bridge from Inception.
Nerdy Ben is best Ben. I love it.
Yes.
So that is what I liked about this episode. What did you like about this episode?
I love Andy's jet lag and then all the comedy that follows it. So like mowing the lawn at 2 a.m., which personally I think is absolutely unacceptable.
Yeah, I think a summer or two ago, I got home from a trip or something and Crystal was visiting her parents and I really needed to mow the lawn. And I think it was going to rain the next day. So I did it at like 10 p.m.
That's a little more acceptable.
And I really felt horrible. I mean, I tried to go really fast and I was just kind of looking over my shoulder the whole time.
Sorry.
I felt so bad for my neighbors. I was like, I'm so sorry I'm doing this.
Yeah. I like the that's my spaghetti Chewbacca and then the in-house hosing.
Yeah.
So funny. And also I'm panicking.
Mm-hmm.
I am panicking. I got a new raincoat once and I was at a friend's house and I was like, I'm sad it's not raining outside because I want to try my new raincoat. And you know what she did? She just pulled out the faucet, turned it on and sprayed me in the middle of the kitchen. And Whoa. So then I'm like panicking straight up because it's a wood floor and water and wood floors don't go together. So I'm in shock that first of all, I'm getting sprayed. And second of all, what's going to happen to the wood floor? And then I just basically couldn't talk. And then she did it again. And then she was like, it's fine. I need to mop the floor. And so then I went and just stood on the carpet and I didn't have any words. And she's like, are you still in shock? It's like, yeah.
Wow.
So my raincoat works.
Well, good.
Ta-da! I also like and both dislike Andy peeing in the trash can. Really funny. Really funny. Ron, his comment of already done. When she walked past me this morning, I gave her a kind nod. And then he demonstrates. And it just looks like his eyes are rolled back. Even though they're closed, it's just like.
It kind of does.
Just really awkward. Really
also,
awkward.
I hope our listeners are also patrons that can see the video because that was a perfect Ron Swanson kind nod that you just demonstrated.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I resonate with Ben's gift panic. He's like, it's fine. Here's a candle. And Donna's like, nah, stay away from wine. Wine is crying juice. April naturally wants to get her a 12-foot cobra and name it Waffles. And also, I'm proud of Ben for realizing that a singing telegram is a bad idea. But that also brings me back to that one time I did a bunch of research on singing telegrams. And that was just a really fun episode. But I didn't look that up again. I personally am really glad to be done with city council, to be honest. Goodbye. I think Saperstein's note is really funny, although vicious. And then the epically shot mouth and phone close up. That's like the action movie when the villain's like, how did it go? Did you do it? And then he's like, oh, that's disappointing. Okay. And then it transitions perfectly to Anne and Chris, which.
Yes.
Ugh, I love that.
It's so good.
I like that Larry shares the exact amount of his gas bill, and he's just like, good to be Larry. Good job, buddy. It's interesting to me that the news just so happens to blast in when Ben and Leslie are having a moment. Like, it wasn't there the whole time, but suddenly, ta-da.
It's like Perd Hapley ex machina.
Right. This is Perd Hapley talking to you now about what's going on today. And then there's a reference to the raccoon shantytown. So beware, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
They know. We know. We're gaining more information. And also, time is money. Money is power. Power is pizza. Pizza is knowledge. Let's go. I don't know if you noticed this. The automated word counter is just a multimeter.
I did notice that.
Yep. Harris and Brett just really liked being in sync.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry is actually amazing, but also very klutzy. I love that Ron's one dream is that he just wants a socket set that goes up to 5/8 instead of just a 1/2 inch.
It's so reasonable.
It's just one more size up, everybody. Just one. And then large axe, so funny. I love the scribbly letter debacle. Is it distributions? Is it congratulations? Is it a leg smurf? Is it an 11 jewel toilet? And yeah, you can't tell what's words and what's punctuation, and that's really stressful. And I love that Chris calls Saperstein and Anne's calling Domino's. Do you think Domino's delivers to this restaurant? I hope so. And then Chris is so stressed about it, he eats bread. And Anne's like, honey, no. And then Chris eats a carb.
Mm-hmm. That was great.
I like that the Parks and Rec crew is honest in saying no to Leslie. And hello, Jennifer Barkley.
Yes.
And just the tiny drop in of like, do you really want to spend my time talking about my mother and her 19-year-old Korean husband? Okay. Oh, so many questions. Goodness. But the whole dream bigger speech.
Mm.
So good. Also that was Jen. So funny.
Yes.
And the famous line, you can trust me because I don't care enough about you to lie.
Oh my goodness. I love it.
Ugh.
Just Catherine Hahn chews up the scenery.
Yes.
As Jen Barkley. And
she
I
does.
Love it.
She does. I really like how Tom ends up standing up for himself and pitching the job of the business liaison. And Ron being like, I don't like French words. I do like the word business. You may continue. And then him just being like, this is a good idea. But I don't feel like that would be under Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Departmentally. But I'll let it slide for now.
Yeah.
And then Perd at the end. There you have it, a shockingly unshocking press conference in which a recently unemployed woman said nothing of importance. I'm Perd Hapley, and I just realized I'm not holding my microphone. Wow, I love Perd. I love Perd. And then my last like is Ben's obsession with the Inception Bridge. Naturally.
Oh my goodness, that's so good.
I had one mid-like, which is Chris being like, I know we should hate you because you ruined our friend's business, but we love you. I have so many mixed feelings about that. But the thing that takes it over for me into like is Dr. Saperstein just being like, I'm lovable.
Yeah, like he knows.
I'm lovable.
He doesn't fight it. He just knows.
Right. What did you dislike?
Just one thing. And that is socks with holes.
Correct. I counted them. There are at least 7.
Oh, that's an impressive amount of sock holes.
And they're in all the places that if you wore those with shoes, you would 100% get blisters.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't got time for that.
No. Yeah, what did you dislike about this episode?
Well, I mean, number one was 7 sock holes.
Two of them.
Number two is everything Dex Hart and how he gets away with it. Like, it just feels so gross to me. And also, who is that woman and why would she be standing next to him? I mean, from a TV standpoint, it does feel like she was representing our opinion on screen.
Mm-hmm.
But why would you stand with Dex Hart?
I think I could be wrong, but I think that's supposed to be his wife.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. Okay. Okay. That makes it worse. I don't like Leslie's statement of anything is worth me getting back on city council.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
No. No, 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 no. And then she's trying to drum up additional bad press with Tweep. Like, wow. Wow. And then the small, like, comedic thing of, like, oh, he's Miley Cyrus's cousin, and that's why his poll numbers are up. Like, hilarious for a second. And then it just... Classic Shauna. She's like, I feel like I could fix him, you know? No. No, Shauna, no. And
no,
then,
Shauna, you need to adjust your day planner.
Right? Your day planner is totally off. Ugh. I can't believe Shauna. And then the whole second chance poster. It's like a ransom poster. Like, I mean, they designed it to look desperate, and it looks desperate.
Yeah.
But, like, is she holding her capabilities ransom? Is she holding her dreams ransom? Like, what's actually happening here? Like, when will Leslie actually believe that she has value?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. And then the whole, I love Ron being, please vote for me, Menorah Bowling Ball. Good. Good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like April's awkward encouragement jab toward Tom. It just didn't sit well with me. Like, normally it feels like her jabs flow and it's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, that was funny. But this one just felt so grating to me.
Yeah, she didn't have a whole lot to do in this episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then my last dislike is the Saperstein family dynamics, and we are not surprised. And I don't think I quite need to go into that. So, now it is time for the coronation of the beautiful rule-breaking moth, a segment in which we choose one specific thing that was the breakout star of the episode, Joe.
Okay, I've got something kind of fun here.
Okay, hit me.
I could be reaching a little bit, but I think there's some meat to the A League of Their Own reference in Leslie's press conference.
Okay.
Because I did a little theorizing here. It's a movie about a scrappy baseball team in an all-women's league during World War II.
Interesting.
The women of the Rockford Peaches face hardships and overcome great odds to eventually win the league and qualify for the World Series. And Tom Hanks's character tells one of the women in this episode, it's supposed to be hard. If it wasn't hard, everyone would do it. The hard is what makes it great. And I think this could be a clever writer's nod to the difficulties that Leslie has and will overcome, to her needing to face the hardship of losing her city council job so that she'll be able to do bigger and better things. Like I said, it could be nothing, but if it is intentional, that is genius.
Love it.
So, who or what is your beautiful rule-breaking moth?
Jen Barkley. I just,
so
I loved her in this episode. She brought Leslie back down, which was honestly a relief.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Is that me? Do I normally do that? And now.
I was thinking about it. I think you do. It's time. It's time for some shaming.
Shaming, Jerry.
Shame.
Okay, Joe. What are you? I'm sorry.
Stop it, Raccoon Gang. We've both been found. Something is happening. Have you seen that episode of Community where Troy and Abed lose their handshake? Like, Pierce buys it from them and then they can't do it anymore.
Freaking Pierce, man.
And they run up to Jeff and they're like, Pierce corrupted our handshake with his blood money and now we can't get the magic back.
Wow.
Raccoons, knock it off. We need the magic back. I don't even know.
All right. So who or what's your Jerry, Joe?
So I can identify with Leslie to a degree, like a human degree of the disappointment, of the difficulty letting go, those types of things. But I really don't like Leslie not stopping to process, attempting to dive right back into the job that's been having a negative impact on her life, I would say, and being willing to essentially drag everyone around her down to do it. The sentence, "anything is worth me getting back on city council," kind of says it all.
Correct.
And I didn't really put anything related to that in my dislikes, because it's just kind of this overarching feeling around this episode where, kind of right until the point where Jen Barkley comes in, it's just kind of tense. Like, it just feels kind of, I don't like this. That's my Jerry. Who or what is your Jerry?
Mine's that Leslie's, it's just her blind determination that city council is the utter dream, like the penultimate dream.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't work. Let it go. Mm-hmm. Try something else. Like, don't, you're ruining it. Stop. Okay, thanks.
And now I do the end now this time.
You do.
Oh my goodness.
You do the rest of them now.
Oh my goodness. I need to go slap some bases. Musical or military. It doesn't
Fine.
Matter.
Slap the bass.
Okay, it's time for the awarding of the Lil Sebastians, a ceremony in which we rate each episode against the entire catalog of Parks and Recreation episodes by awarding it between 1 and 5 Lil Sebastians. Joy! How many Lil Sebastians would you rate Second Chunce?
Okay, so I'm revisiting my answer at present, because the more we talk about it, the more I'm remembering the feeling I had while watching the episode.
Mm.
And right now I have a 3 down, which means like the episode's passable. The episode's fine. Like it's normal level. And now I'm actually thinking back over it and being like, I did not feel good during this. I didn't really laugh during this. The bright spot of this one was Jen Barkley for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hate to do this, but I feel like it's a 2.
Ooh, editing in real time.
What about intent.
You? I just did that too. kind of the same thing with me, honestly. You know, it's fine. I really like that John Ralphio is in it, but unfortunately, kind of what we've talked about made this a 3 for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
There's
but
that.
When it comes to John Ralphio, we did indeed find him in a special way.
No.
Go back to watching cartoons, John Ralphio.
The Elmer Fudd one's on.
The Elmer Fudd one is on. Okay, well, let's do some karate moves to
karate moves.
The success.
Karate moves.
We could definitely use some success today, I think. What do you? I don't
What's
even.
What's the alternative?
I don't know.
Like, I need some failure today. You know, I just need to be
the
humble.
Alternative is failure.
Just
you know
a little
what?
Too prideful in my life.
My birthday was yesterday. Today can be whatever. I can fail today, I guess. I don't know. I'm not
what?
Making any sense.
I don't know. Let's just slap some bases and move on. Okay.
Yes.
What are you going to karate chop, Joe?
I'm going to karate chop wind.
All of it?
Yes, I suppose all of it.
Why?
Because we had all of it yesterday, and I think technically it's still happening, but yesterday we had 75 mile an hour winds here.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, it's not fun.
Wow.
It's the kind of wind where they have the special signs on the highway everywhere that basically beg truckers not to drive because their trucks will straight up blow over.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So that amount of wind is just not fun.
Yeah, no. Mm-mm.
So, yeah, what about you? What are you going to karate chop this week?
I am both bracing for and trying to ignore the signs of early onset spring allergies.
That's rough.
Yeah. I'll be fine, I'm sure. The allergens aren't bad here in Minot, North Dakota. Right?
Right, correct, yes.
Okay, cool. Whew.
My brain was trying to do this Mind Palace thing where it's like researching allergens in North Dakota. And then it was like, come on, Joe, you don't know that.
It's so cold up there.
It is cold up there. I do know that. All right. Well, who do you want to be nice to this week?
It's your birthday yesterday. But when this episode comes out, It will be last week. So happy birthday last week, because we're time travelers.
Yeah, we are.
And also, I have two be nices because one of them I just found and it was absolutely adorable. I don't know if you know that Marcel the Shell has a movie coming out.
Marcel the Shell.
Marcel the Shell with Shoes On.
I am not familiar with this Marcel.
Oh, it's so cute. It's this little video fad that happened in like the early 2010s, which just like stop motion with this little tiny shell that he just kind of talks like this. And he's adorable. Marcel the Shell movie. Putting a link in there. I watched the trailer and it's adorable. Also, I'm a week into experimenting with doing the karate moves to success in my actual life.
Whoa.
And it's very interesting. So like Sitting down at the beginning of the week being like, what do I want to do this week? What are my intentions? And learn something and karate chop something are really hard. But make something and try something new, that just, I can fit anything food in there. Be nice to someone. I can give away anything food in there. So I don't know, playing with it. What about you?
This week, I would like to be nice to friend of show, Andy.
Andy!
Just basically for being a general champion. The reason that the upper floor of our house has luxury vinyl plank flooring instead of carpet flooring now.
Woo!
And it doesn't look terrible. It looks professional. Woo! Is all thanks to him.
Andy.
And he just, I mean, essentially, we just couldn't function without him right now, thanks to my touring schedule and stuff like that. He just, you know, it wouldn't happen without him. He really does a whole lot for us. So he deserves some recognition.
Thanks, Andy. You're a good human.
Yeah. Okay. Joy, take us to that outro.
Give me a word.
This is terrible. The only word I can think of is chunts.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I can't.
And we're gonna let it burn, 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 burn. We're gonna let it burn, 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 burn. We're gonna let it burn, 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 burn. Gonna let it burn, burn, burn. I don't want to give you a second chance because we ran out of letters. Oh, so we just gonna give you a second chance. Oh, and it's just gonna suck. And it's gonna suck, suck, suck. Give me another one.
Rammstein.
When the lights turn down, they don't know what they heard. I didn't really practice this higher register. It's fine. And then I noticed the sun rising in the southwest. We'll be raising our hands, shining up to the sky. Cause I'm in Ramstein. I'm in Ramstein. Look at me, Ramstein. Ram. Give me another one.
I'm sorry, listeners, if you don't appreciate the genius that is Joy freestyling Ellie Goulding incorporating words like chunts and Ramstein, I just don't know.
Okay, give me one more.
Okay. I want to find a good one. This is terrible. Enrique Hit Shockwave.
Me. Oh my gosh. When the lights turn down, he's gonna text you. He's gonna use a name that might look something like this. It might be a shockwave, an Enrique shockwave. We're gonna let it burn. We're gonna let it burn. We're gonna let it burn. Hello, this is Enrique Shockwave. And I'm not gonna read the text past that because it's where this is a G-rated show. So, all right, Joe, it's all you.
Thank you, everyone, for hanging out with us. Genuinely hope that you have had fun. Man. If you would like more.
Ramstein. Ramstein. Here I am. Get me a beer, Stein.
If I ever.
I am gonna get a Wiener Schnitzel. Cause I am. I'm here in the Ramstein. Ramstein, get me a beer, Stein. I need a beer, Stein. Keep going.
Mm-hmm. Mark my words, if I ever go to Ramstein someday, I will stride out of the airport with a boombox blaring Burn by Ellie Goulding, and I will throw up my arms and I will yell, "Here I am." Anyway, we have an Instagram. You can follow us on it.
How am I supposed to play?
It's Rewatch Parks at Instagram. Wait. At Instagram at Rewatch Parks. There we go.
What?
And we have a Patreon. You can support the show. You get instant access to our after show if you sign up with the Pawnee Goddess or Swanson Tears. That's the Hucking Booths. It's fun.
It's fun. It's fine. Just come and join us at the Hucking Booths, you know? Yeah, it's just the fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. And we have a Facebook group, the official Parks and Rewatch fan club on Facebook. And if you're an email type of person, you can send us an email at rewatchparks@gmail.com. And if you are enjoying our show, it would mean the world to us if you would leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts and a review on Spotify.
For Ramstein.
You got me.
Yeah.
There's no more perfect way to end it. That's it.